Amen. Thank you. Welcome, welcome to our Made Whole series. Again, I just love that intro on how things are broke and then reversed. And I don't know what kind of condition you were in when you met Jesus, but I was one broken person, and Jesus has made me whole. And I'm so excited about that. So this subject is near and dear to my heart, and I pray you open your heart and receive all God has for you. So let's talk about being made whole by God, being made whole. Jesus didn't come just to forgive me of sin and deal with my sins. He certainly did that, but he came to make me whole in my spirit, my soul, and my body. And that's what we're looking at, how that man is created in the image of God, and that means that we are a triune being created in the image of a triune God. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God, but in three distinct, separate manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not three different people. I'm one person, but I am a spirit being. I have a spirit, and I have a soul. And my soul is my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, my conscience, my opinions, my thoughts. And I live in this body. This body we've seen is temporary. It's been bought by the Lord. It's been purchased, but it's not been redeemed. But my spirit, that part of me has been changed. That part of me has been born again, renewed in the very image and likeness of Jesus himself. And my soul is being renewed every day as I walk with the Lord. And so we looked at the process of our salvation, spirit, soul, and body. And I want to continue to elaborate on this, but I want to hit this from a different angle. For many of you, that concept is new, that you're three parts. Many people grow up in church and they realize they have a body, of course, and then they think they have a soul. They definitely acknowledge they have a personality, an opinion side of them, their intellect, etc., etc., but they don't know that they have a spirit, and that before we got born again, our spirit part of us, the Bible says, was dead in sins and trespasses, and that's the part that got quickened. That's the part that got changed and made alive. And so that's new to a lot of people. But for many, especially here within the sound of my voice, I've taught these concepts for years, and so it's not something new to you, but I want you to give me your heart, because I believe that we've got to go into a greater depth of what it means to be spirit, soul, and body. And definitely, we need to understand the application of this truth. Because many people do see that they're born again. They do see that their spirit is changed. And there are things being said in the body of Christ at large today that simply aren't true. And even some denominations talk about how we're secure and our spirit is changed and sealed. But then they say things like sin doesn't really matter and our bodies don't matter and all of that's perishing anyway, and we don't need to be concerned about the body and what goes on in our bodies. That's simply not true. God loves you, and that means he loves your spirit, your soul, and your body. And your bodies do matter to God and how we present our bodies. God just doesn't want our bodies controlling us any longer and the desires of our flesh drawing us into the world. He wants us to understand our new spirit and how to walk after this spirit and not fulfill now the lust of the flesh. You know, there's a scripture, it's not in my notes, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And we use this scripture a lot for healing, and rightfully so, it applies to healing. But listen to it carefully. It says, who his own self, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his body. Aren't you glad Jesus went to the cross and he bore your sins, past, present, and future tense, in his body, and God condemned him for all of your sins? That's the grace of God. That's the goodness of God and the love of God, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. But listen to this. We being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes now we are healed or made whole. So see, God does care how we live our lives. He does care how we express ourselves in our bodies. We just have to understand the change in our spirit and how to yield to that in this life. And so those are the things I want to talk about, because God wants my spirit, my soul and my body, listen carefully, to come into harmony in my relationship with Him. Amen. 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 All right, so let's dig into this a little further. God wants us whole. What does that mean? Spirit, soul, and body. Here's our main text. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Notice it's not H-O-L-H-O-L-Y, like Holy Bible, Holy God, Holy Spirit. It's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. I pray that the God of peace sanctify you, set you apart completely. Well, what does he mean by that? And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, faithful is he who hath promised or called us or called you, who also will do it. Who will also do what? Present me to himself completely. Present me whole. Present me spirit, soul, and body at his appearing and his kingdom. And so my spirit and the condition of my spirit does matter. And my soul, the condition of my soul, it matters greatly. My will, my emotions, my feelings, my thoughts again, my opinions, my conscience. All that's a part of your soul. And then now my body. And so we need to understand this not only in revelation of being three parts, but in the revelation of how do I live my life now as a person that's whole, spirit, soul, and body. And those are the things I want to get into. In Philippians 1, verse 6, the King James Bible says, Paul says, I am confident of this very thing. He that has begun a good work in you, that's salvation. That's the new birth. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it unto that day. What day? The day of Jesus' appearing and his kingdom. Some call it the second coming. Look at the Passion Translation, and I love this. He says, I pray with great faith. Man, we need to learn to pray with great faith, amen. Some of us pray with a lot of doubt and unbelief, but I want to pray with great faith. He's praying with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that he or that the one who began this glorious work in you, God is the one that began this glorious work in you. What is that work? It's the new birth we saw. That he that began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back soon, and I believe very soon, and he will be unveiled. I talked about this for a few hours. He will appear in his kingdom, and Paul is saying here that he that's begun the work in you, this glorious work of being saved, he is faithful to perform it, to mature you unto that day. Now, he won't do it without your cooperation, and you can't do it without his cooperation. Amen. This is one of the reasons we're not supposed to judge one another in a condemning judgment, in a final judgment. Paul said in Corinthians chapter 4, and I love this, he said, it's a small thing for me to be judged by you. God is my judge. I don't even judge myself. What in the world is he talking about? He doesn't judge himself because Jesus taught us before we can make any judgments at all, judgment starts with us. We have to judge ourselves, judge our hearts, judge our motives before we try to correct or instruct anybody else. He's not talking about we don't judge what's right or wrong according to God's word and what God has called right and what God has called wrong. He's talking about pronouncing final judgment on anybody, not even ourselves, because God's not through with us. God's not through with you. That's why I love you, whether you fail or fall or you don't. If you mess up and stumble or you get caught in a trap of any kind of sin, I don't condemn you because God is still working in you. God is not through with you. And we need to wait for the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom before final judgment can be made on any of us. Man, I don't know what's happening in you, but God began something in me decades ago and he's still working on me. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect after the flesh, but I have left. Amen. Some of you say you haven't arrived, but you haven't left yet either. You need to leave. You need to get on the path. You need to get in God's will, and you need to be pursuing His perfect plan, glorious plan for your life. But we all make mistakes after the flesh. We all fail after the flesh. None of us are perfect after the flesh. But there's a part of me that's been perfected forever. It's my born-again spirit that happened on the day I made Jesus Lord of my life. I'm going to work this out in a different way with you as we walk through this on how to yield to that, how it works in your life. Because you can be dominated by this new spirit if you understand you have a new spirit, the condition of your new spirit, and how to truly walk by faith. You don't have to be dominated by your bodies any longer. You don't have to eat that third piece of pie, okay? Amen. You don't have to spend the rest of your life in fellowship with Jack and Daniel. You don't have to have a pity party with marijuana. You can overcome these things. Mary who? Just let it go. I'm trying to make a point that we're in a world that's fallen. Our bodies aren't redeemed. They've been purchased. And the devil can draw any of us through the flesh into things that we know that aren't right. But we need to understand we don't have to be ensnared by these things any longer. We've got Christ on the inside of us. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And greater is He that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world that's drawing people into death. It's sad how many Christians are bound unnecessarily by their flesh. But the beginning of being free from it is understanding spirit, soul, and body, and that your spirit is already free from this world and the temptations of this world. It is perfected. It is born again of an incorruptible seed by the Word and by the Spirit of God. Philippians 2, he goes on writing the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this. He says, "Work out your own salvation now with fear and trembling." He's not talking about demonic fear. He's not talking about being afraid of God with a tormenting fear. He's talking about respect. That word fear there means awesome respect. That you respect God now as His child. You respect His Word. You respect His kingdom. You respect His Son, Jesus, and His Holy Spirit, and things of that nature. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that is at work within you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Did everybody hear that? God is on the inside of us now, and His will is on the inside of us, and His good pleasure. If I can just learn how to yield to the Spirit and my spirit man versus my outer man, I can see the things of God manifesting in my life on a regular basis now. And so this is powerful in our lives. It's important in our lives. And it never gets too old for me. I need reminded because I am a spirit being. I have this soul that is in the process of being saved that many times wars against my spirit, wars against the Word of God. I know I'm not the only one here that reads the Bible and sometimes goes, "That ain't right. That can't be true." I can't be the only one that goes through this life and in my family and the things we face many times or in this ministry feel the burden on my soul and discouragement trying to get in my heart. I have to know that my spirit never gets discouraged, that my spirit is born again by the Spirit of God and has literally the very Spirit of Christ united to it. And in my spirit is love, and it's always there. In my spirit is joy. When I get discouraged or tempted to be depressed or down in the mully grubs, I've got to know there's a joy that I don't have to go get out here, but there's a joy in here that never leaves me. I just need to learn how to receive of it, how to yield to it. And those are some of the things we're going to talk about. All right, in John chapter 3, we looked at Nicodemus in our last session. I'm going to pick up where I left off. Bottom line is, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. What a coward. What a wimp. Coming to the Lord by night. Why couldn't he come to the Lord by day? Because he might be seen of his peers and persecuted for seeking Jesus. Peer pressure is very real, saints. And adults have to learn to deal with it. We talk about our teenagers all the time and how they shouldn't yield to peer pressure while we as adults are continually still yielding to peer pressure. even religious peer pressure. God doesn't want me to use religion and outside stimuli like guilt and condemnation and shaming you to get you to live for God, to get you to live right. That is not God. That is not God's way. And one of the rudest awakenings I received in my life was when I graduated from high school. How many of you remember when you were 16 and you knew everything and you knew it? Amen. You just get dumber as you get older, realizing what you don't know, evidently. Because, boy, I graduated from high school, and I hated the peer pressure of high school. I hated having to conform to be accepted. I hated having to conform to be liked, to be a part of the in crowd. It was terrible. And I actually thought, when I graduated from high school, all this peer pressure will be over. Uh-oh, some of you didn't laugh. Yeah, did I ever get a rude awakening that coming out of high school, I didn't get delivered from peer pressure. I got thrown into a world that is trying to conform me into their own images and use peer pressure, guilt, shame, condemnation, manipulation, lying, deceiving. Political correctness is nothing but peer pressure trying to get you to conform to a secular worldview and go silent concerning the truth. That's what political correctness is. And many of you, you cow down to peer pressure. You cow down to political correctness because you don't want to be rejected either. And you don't want to be mocked. And you don't want to be persecuted, and one day, if we don't see a revival in our country, prosecuted for not thinking like the political opinions of the hour, and in some cases, executed. We live in a culture right now that is persecuting anybody that doesn't think like they think, agree with their secular worldview, and they have taken it a notch up in the sense of persecution isn't satisfying and fueling their hate and their resentment and their rejection of the truth. But now they've gone from persecuting people for being different and having different opinions to literally trying to prosecute you and put you in jail if you don't agree with them. And in certain areas of our world, good Christian people are being executed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their desire to please God. Man, I pray for a revival in this country and that we have no more Nicodemuses sneaking around by night trying to serve the Lord, but that we be bold in our love for Jesus. Bold, not rude, but bold in our love for truth and our hunger and desire for truth, because it's in knowing the truth that you will be set free. If knowing the truth sets people free, then deception and lies ensnares the multitudes and enslaves them. And I don't want no part nor lot in being a slave to this world, but I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and He is Lord of my life. I am not afraid of my faith. I'm not afraid to share my love for Jesus, my love for our culture, my love for people, true, real love for people. And yet Nicodemus is sneaking around by night. And he comes to the Lord, tries to butter him up, and the Lord just cut to the chase. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is Jesus speaking, saints. Being born again is not an option. It's not something you can do without. Without being born again, your human spirit is dead in sins and trespasses, united to your soul. And if you come out of that body with a dead spirit united to your soul, it's not going to be a good day when you meet the Lord. You need to get that spirit born again. You need to get that spirit changed. That's the problem with man, is his spirit, not his soul or his body. While his soul and his body without God is messed up, the source of it is his spirit is separated from God, and he must be born again, or he can't see the kingdom of God. If you can't see the kingdom of God till you get born again, then you can't enter on into it unless you're born again. And so this is a must. And Nicodemus immediately thought natural, physical. He says, can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born over? That's just plain weird. Amen or oh me. And Jesus looked at him and said, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. That's what he should have said. Amen. Jesus basically looked at him and said, look, I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm not talking about natural things. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit, explaining the new birth to Nicodemus. He says that anything born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I'm talking about something spiritual here. I'm not talking about your body having to be born again. I'm talking about the essence of your heart, and that flesh produces nothing but flesh. Humans produce nothing but humans. Flesh produces flesh, and it can't produce anything but flesh. But then he said, look, spirit produces spirit. Your spirit is born again of the Holy Spirit. It looks like Jesus. It is united to Jesus himself. It's got God's very love on the inside of it. Joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, kindness. All these things are in my spirit in Jesus. And I just have to learn how to release them into my life now as I walk with the Lord. Again, flesh produces flesh. People produce people. Lions produce lions. Apples produce apples. Monkeys produce monkeys. This isn't, and when I get onto these things, some of you get a little uncomfortable if I put my finger on anything cultural. Not understanding the deadliness of some of the things that are happening in our culture to your children and to a generation even to come. It's not a matter of the world says this and I say this. I believe the Bible says this. And it's no major thing, the world believing certain things. But certain things are poison. Certain things corrupt the mind and the very soul of people. Evolution versus creationism is not something that's minor. God created the solar system. It didn't just happen. It didn't evolve. The galaxies were created by this awesome, mighty God. The earth was created by God. You as a human being were created by God, and you didn't evolve. He created Adam, a full-grown person. He created Eve, a full-grown person. God even skipped having babies. He didn't want to change diapers. I get it. He didn't want to have to raise a teenager and twitch. So he skipped the baby. He skipped teenager. And he created a full-grown person. We didn't evolve. We didn't go from goo to the zoo to you. We've not evolved. We're devolving. We've removed God from every expression of our culture. And the more we remove God, we don't evolve. We're devolving into the pit. We're devolving into darkness. These things matter. Communism, Karl Marx, Hitler, Stalin. We could name name after name of despotism and the cruelty of man without God and what he does to his fellow man. And all of those I named and everyone else you can name bought into evolution. All of them believed in evolution, survival of the fittest. And while they say we are all equal, some are more equal than others. Those in the government. And some lives are considered better than others. This stuff leads to genocidal maniacs. And we're thinking it's no big deal for our children to be taught some of this stuff and us not push back lovingly. We need to understand that kind of poison messes a child up and their destiny and God's purpose for their lives. You're created in the image and likeness of God, and all human life is valuable. Those are Judeo-Christian principles that the evolutionist takes out. When I talk about man-made global warming, people get up and walk out. They don't care about what the Bible says. They don't care about who is Lord and who the Creator is and who's in charge of the climate. The arrogance of man-made global warming, the arrogance of thinking we can control the weather. Those same people tell us the earth is 4 billion years old. Can you imagine the weather being the same for 4 billion years? The weather has fluctuated for thousands of years, and a lot of things contribute to that, not your SUV. this is all deception and lies to ensnare a generation to have power over them and control their lives. It's not just me disagreeing with a philosophy over here versus even a biblical philosophy. This stuff is dangerous that's being taught to your children. And I don't know how I got off on that, and I hope I made my point. I'm not trying to commit suicide. I'm trying to share, you must be born again. That's where I started. And we need our minds renewed to the Word of God, not political correctness. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now watch this. This is incredible. The wind. Everybody say the wind. So that he's going to tie the wind into being born again. The wind is the breath of God. The wind is the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So he tied Spirit in with... He tied Spirit in with wind and the new birth. You got to remember that. You have to understand that to get the next verse. He said, we don't know where the wind comes from, and we really don't know where it goes. We simply see the manifestations of the wind, and we know it's blowing. We know something's happening. We don't know all the nuance of the Holy Spirit, all the workings of the Holy Spirit, where he comes from at times, where he goes. All we know is the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Just like I can't see the wind, I see the trees moving, so I know the wind is blowing. I see my trash going from my yard to your yard. If you're my neighbor, I apologize. I saw some trash. Anyway, I knew the wind was blowing, not because I could see it. I saw the manifestation of the wind blowing. When you get born again, when you receive a new spirit, when you call upon the name of Jesus, something happens on the inside of you and you're changed, but not everything overnight changes in your life. It's a process. But if nothing has changed since you made Jesus the Lord of your life, we need to start over. We need to push the restart button, because you may be doing a pitiful job of living holy. You may be doing a pitiful job of your hunger for God and your serving God. On the ladder of progression and maturity that God has all of us on, you may be on the last, very last rung of that ladder. And you're just hanging there, and you can feel on your gluteus maximus the flames of hell. But the bottom line is, if you've got that bottom rung, you want to go to the next rung. You have a heart to do what's right now. You have a hunger to fix what's been broke and trust God to fix our broken lives. I know I'm saved today, not because I'm perfect. That's obvious. Me standing up here being transparent many times. You can see my flaws. You can see my weaknesses. But those are after my flesh. I'm not perfect after my flesh, but I am perfect in my spirit. I'm not always right out here, but I'm always right in my spirit, united to Christ. And I need to learn how to release that. I need to learn how to yield to that in a profound way that profoundly, again, changes my life. I know I'm saved not because I don't mess up. I know I'm saved because I'm willing to fess up when I mess up, and I want to make things right when I do something wrong. Those are the manifestations of the wind that blew on my heart. Nicodemus answered, look at this, and said to him, how can these things be? How can a man be born over? How can he get a new heart and a new spirit? Now look at this. This is important. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You need to think about that for a minute. You're a teacher of Israel and you're supposed to know these things. In other words, God had prophesied in the old covenant countless numbers of times of a new covenant coming. And a change in that new covenant. He prophesied countless numbers of times of a new heart and putting a new heart in his people and a new spirit in his people. And this concept of being born again. Nicodemus should have known it. And he didn't. Listen, I should know it. And dear ones, you should know it. You should understand what happened to you in this thing we call the new birth, becoming a new creation, becoming born again. And we should be able to communicate it to our friends and our neighbors. Our spirits are the part that are born again, and the wind is the spirit. Now look at what Ezekiel, we're just going to look at a few quickly. Ezekiel 36, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries." Now I want to put a thought in your mind. I'm going to read this in context, three or four verses here. And you're going to have to see them differently and think differently than most think. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, there were God's people brought from every nation there and every country. They were all gathered on the day of Pentecost. Keep that in your mind as we read this now in context. "And bring you into your own land." Everybody say land. Now, I guarantee you where 90% of your minds went right there. When Jesus said you must be born again to Nicodemus, he thought natural first. He thought physical. And Jesus was speaking supernatural and spiritual. Most people, as soon as I read, "I'll bring you into your own land," they're thinking Middle East, Israel's physical land. But watch the context. "I'm going to bring you into your own land. Then, when I bring you into whatever this land is, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Whatever land I'm going to bring you into, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to cleanse you from sin." What kind of sin even? "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols, your spiritual idolatry that you've committed on me, your worship of this life, your worship of material things, your worship of all these false gods who are no gods. I'm going to clean that up." Look at the context. "I will give you a what? When I get you into this land, whatever this land is, I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of" what? "A heart of flesh." I'm going to take away that hard heart. And man, if you can't see our culture today and witness the hardness, the cruelty of people, the meanness of people, the hatred in people. I'm talking about on national TV. Hard hearts toward God. Hard hearts toward the Word of God. Hard hearts toward anything that's near and dear to the heart of God. God says, "I will take, if you'll give me that heart, if you'll repent, if you'll turn in your heart, I'll take away the stony heart and I'll give you a heart now of flesh, a sensitive heart, a meek heart, a good heart, a heart of flesh." Now look at this. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." God says, "A day is coming. I'm going to make a new covenant with my people, the house of Israel." If you'll read Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 10, the new covenant was addressed specifically to the house of Israel and Judah. It was given to the Jews first, the new birth, the new creation, the day of Pentecost, and then it was taken to the Gentiles. You and I got in. But he says, "I'm going to cause you, because of a new heart, and because I'm going to put a new spirit in you, and I'm going to put my spirit in you, I, from in here, will cause you to walk in my ways, my statutes, my commandments." See, God wants to lead us from within here to do what is right and to see all this change in our lives, not from out here. And yet, even at church, I'm not putting pastors down. I are one. So I'm trying to be nice here. But I grew up under pastors that were constantly from the outside trying to get me to live holy, trying to get me to change. And change doesn't come from peer pressure. Change doesn't come from without. Change comes from God that's within. You just have to learn to hear him, to listen, to yield, to follow. And then he goes on to say that you shall dwell in the land. Now he's back to the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. We'll look at this later. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 quotes this exactly. That we are to be ye separate, come out from among them. I will be your God and you will be my people. The land is not a piece of dirt in the Mediterranean. The land that we have that the Jews got first and came to the Gentiles is the kingdom of God. This is our promised land. All of the dirt And the physical lamb was a type and a shadow of things to come and not the very image of those things, but it's come in the kingdom of God. And when you go, whoa, 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 you're doing too good. When you get born again, you get to see it. And now by the Spirit, you get to enter into it with much tribulation. Hallelujah. I pastored a while in the Methodist church, and we used to sing about the Canaan land, the promised land, and everybody thought it was going to heaven, that heaven was our promised land. Don't misunderstand me. Heaven's a great place to go, but even it's temporary. If you die today, you'll go to heaven. You'll be with Jesus, but you're coming back to rule and reign on this earth. The bottom line is you can't take all the Christians that are alive today and cram them into that land. And heaven is filled with millions and millions of believers. The land was a type and a shadow of the true land, the promised land. And the reason I know heaven is not the promised land is because there are no giants that have to be driven out of heaven. There are no issues and problems in heaven. This is the kingdom of God here. It's on the inside of me. It's on the inside of you. One day it'll be manifest on the outside. But until then, we have to drive the giants, the enemies of our soul, out with the power of God in our lives. In the kingdom of God that I'm in and is in me, there's problems. The kingdom suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. God has promised us as His people, I'm going to take away that spirit that was dead in sins and trespasses that I taught you last session. I'm going to take that away. That was a stony, hard part of your heart. I'm going to take that away. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in you, and I'm going to put my spirit in you. Man, can you imagine if we knew how to release this stuff, if we knew how to walk in it? I said something Saturday night in that service, and I wasn't wrong, but I should have. I'm always in a hurry, and so I don't have time to explain everything. But I talked about, as a Christian, we don't need all these rehab centers and all of these months and months and months of counseling to overcome the weaknesses of our flesh. And what I didn't say is, I'm not saying anything against rehab. If your life is so messed up, maybe drugs has messed you up, maybe sexuality's messed you up, and you need to be just totally separated for a season. I wish I would have said Saturday. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm simply saying if you could learn to really walk by faith, you can overcome anything in this life. Anything. We don't have to be bound by drugs. We don't have to be bound by criticism. We don't have to be bound by gossip. We don't have to be bound by all this slander. We don't have to be bound by all this hate and jealousy and addictions. I need an amen. Amen. Half of you probably are bound. I get it. But you don't have to be is the point. Maybe you still are. I'm okay with that. We'll work it out. We'll walk it out if you'll stick with me. I guarantee you. Because you can't sit under the Word of God and the anointing of God and really open your heart and not be changed by the Spirit of God. It'll deliver you. I've been delivered from so many different things. It's just incredible what God can do in our lives if we learn how to walk by it. Ezekiel mentioned the new spirit in chapter 11, chapter 18, chapter 37. That comes after chapter 36. I need an amen on that. Surely your mind's not that damaged. Ezekiel 37 comes after 36, and it's the chapter of the dry bones. And God said, this represents the house of Israel. They're dead. They're very dead. And he asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel gave the right answer. I have finally learned how to answer God's questions. Ezekiel gave the biblical answer, the smart answer. He looked right up at God and said, only thou knowest, O sovereign God. I'm not being lured into a trap. I don't know if they can live or not, but you know. And God will ask you questions throughout your walk, and you have to learn where he's going with the questions. And so Ezekiel says, only you know. And God says, speak to the wind. The wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. The wind is what Jesus used in connection to the new birth in John chapter 3. He said, speak to the wind, all four corners. And the wind began to blow. The bones began to rattle and shake. They began to stand up and come together as a skeleton. God put muscle on it, sinew on it, tendons on it, skin on it. And then it says, but they're still dead. And then he said, prophesy the breath of God. Speak the breath of God. And wind came into them and they came alive and they represented an army, the house of Israel. It's the wind of God breathing on our heart and us yielding that we get born again. And the first resurrection happens in your heart, in your spirit. And if you've been raised from your death in sins and trespasses, quickened and made alive in your spirit, now you experience the second resurrection, the resurrection of your bodies. The resurrection of your bodies. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's a term of saved. If you're born again, Christ is in you, and you are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is that talking about? Because I would sit in church, hear that, make a commitment to Christ, but feel like I'm not saved because everything didn't pass away in my body and all things become new. Everything doesn't pass away in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your opinion, your conscience. And all things become new. What part of me became a new creature? What part of me did old things pass away and all things become new? Your spirit. That's the part of you that gets born again. That's the part of you you can't get in touch with without faith. You can feel your emotions, you can touch your body, but you can't sense your spirit with your five physical senses. You can only connect to your spirit by faith. That's why people are unaware that they have a spirit and that they've been changed. They don't understand faith and walking by faith. But that part of you, God took away that old dead spirit. He put a new spirit in you. He put His spirit in you. And now He's leading you from within to change your mind, to renew your mind, and get a biblical worldview versus a secular worldview, to adopt God's philosophy, not men's philosophies that really destroy people's lives. Again, my body didn't become new and pass away, nor my soul, but my spirit did. Look at this, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That says all things are of God. That says, yeah, all things are of God. How many of you know all things are not of God in your body? There's stuff that comes into your body that's not of God. Sickness, disease, that's not of God. Wrinkles. I'm talking to the other services. All things are not of God in your soul. I remember the first time, man, I make this commitment to Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. And a couple of days later, had a bad thought. And I thought I was lost. I thought, well, maybe I'm not saved because all things are not of God in my thinking. My opinions didn't all pass away and all become of God. That's going to happen at the resurrection. I'm so excited about Jesus appearing at any moment. Some of you are going to lose 40 pounds in the resurrection. Yeah, amen. It's just, I mean, it's going to fall off of you. 40 pounds. Bam. Don't get upset at me. I'm going to gain 20 pounds. I'm going to gain it right across here too. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have to shop in the youth department for a suit ever again. There's a part of you that passed away. There's a part of you that became brand new. And there's a part of you that all things are of God. It's your spirit. And we have to learn about this. We have to learn now how to walk in it and how to apply it. Because some people have seen some of this and came along and said, well, since my spirit is sealed, I'm going to teach you that in our next session, how your spirit is totally sealed. It's incorruptible. Nothing evil or sinful can get into your spirit, and nothing can come out of your spirit but that which is of God. And a lot of people have seen this, but then they say, well, the body doesn't matter. My body doesn't matter. I can live any way I want to live, and I'm secure, and I'm saved, and I'm redeemed, and I'm sealed. And so My body doesn't matter. How many of you know I can separate you spirit, soul, and body with the Word of God, but you can't separate spirit, soul, and body in your life, how you live your life? You know, if I got all upset at Aaron, I'm going to use Aaron. If I got all upset at Aaron and I just smacked him right across his jaw, it would knock him out. He would hit the floor as of dead. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it, hallelujah. You don't want me to hit you. And so I just knock him out with one punch. Well, finally he comes to, and he starts getting up off the ground, and he starts coming at me, and I go, whoa, 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 brother. That wasn't my spirit. That was my fist. See how none of you wavered? You know in practicality you can't separate your hand from who you really are, even on the inside. If on the way home I'm doing 65 in a 55 mile an hour zone and the officer pulls me over, I can't roll my window down and go, hey, that wasn't me. I'm righteous and truly holy. I'm perfected forever. That was my foot. How many of you know he'll write my foot a ticket? Amen. See, in practicality, you know you can't separate your body from who you really are in here. And yet many things are being said in the church universal today about how the body doesn't matter. The body does matter, and I'm going to teach you how to walk and work this out. Was anybody blessed today? Amen. Amen. I love you guys so much. You know, I don't say thank you maybe enough for the hunger, for the desire, for people being willing to put God first and a rhythm in your life of being here. We've just had wonderful services this weekend and so many lives touched and changed. Man, I just really believe that he that has begun a good work in you is going to complete it unto that day as you simply yield, as you seek him like you're doing now. Amen. Father, I love these precious people. I thank you for their lives. I thank you that you love us whether we're right or wrong. You love us if we're up or down, you love us no matter what. It never changes. But Father, we want to love you back. We want to be the people you've called us to be. We want to be quick to acknowledge where we're failing, but we want to also be quick to learn and to quit failing as we pursue you. Thank you for your word. It means more to me. I never dreamed I could value the word more, love the word more, and just increase in my hunger for it. Thank you. As the world gets dark, help us to stay focused on the Word of God, on the grace of God, on your goodness in our lives as we see the day approaching, Jesus Christ and His return. Amen and amen.